Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Y. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. Tonight's show will feature the second part of the John Delirious Focus that I started last episode. It was more of a mix then, and tonight it's going to be an interview. I'll get there shortly, but first let's check out this week's tracks from the past. So first up is Toronto's Sean Miller, a new one from him called Solstice. This is Kenny Glasgow's remix of that track. Enjoy, and I'll be back in a sec.
Art Book Fair and CITR Discorder are teaming up to present the official Vancouver Art Book Fair After Party on Saturday, October 14th at Workspace, 163 West Pender Street, from 8 p.m. to late into the evening. The Discorder curated lineup features Walgren, Shep, Lord Fuckerman, and music for evenings with guest DJ sets by Crimes and Treasons, Relly Rels, Homeboy Jules, Horsepower, Jamal Steeles, and Issa Aaron. Performances will be followed by a Crimes and Treasons book launch. Admission is free with Vancouver Art Book Fair member passes or a sliding scale from $10 to $15 at the door. Be there or be square.
And now a message from a very excited radio announcer.
Just for Laughs.
Just for Laughs presents the Alternative Comedy Tour.
We gotta get out of here!
Featuring star of Silicon Valley, Deadpool, and everything else you like, TJ Miller.
Yeah, I was the star of Yogi Bear 3D, but I don't need to get into that.
With special guest, Flight of the Conchords, Rhys Darby.
I probably shouldn't be doing this. It's a risk.
And hosted by Nick Vatterott. The Just for Laughs Alternative Comedy Tour at the Vogue Theater, November 17th. On sale now at Ticketfly.com. For details, check Metro News or go to hahaha.com/alternative.
This has been a message from Just for Laughs Alternative Comedy Tour.
Okay, a couple of really good tracks of the week there. The second one was from Techno Man of the Moment, Paride Saraceni. I'm assuming I said that wrong, but hopefully I didn't. With an amazing track on Koyu's Sawara label titled Barcelona. And that track has been everywhere on Umek's podcast, on Boris's podcast, on and on and on. Definitely worth checking out. Sean Miller featured before that with one called Solstice. On to the feature for tonight's show. It's part two of the John Delirious focus that I started last episode. That time it was a one-hour guest mix, but tonight it is going to be an interview with him instead. This is a good, candid interview featuring tracks from John Delirious. Full track listing for this part of the show can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I will see you in a bit. This is DJ Wah speaking to John Delirious, a DJ and producer from Calgary who has been producing and remixing since 2000 and performing since 1992. He's been released on a multitude of prominent labels, including Lost My Dog and Vancouver-based label Nordic Tracks, just to name a few. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is John Delirious. So we'll start off. How would you define your sound?
My sound is, when I'm producing music, is mostly deep house. I like to make down-tempo as well, some nice down-tempo chill stuff. Depending on the day, depending on the mood, I'll even get into a little bit like techier sort of stuff too. But so no matter if I try to make a really banging track, 9 times out of 10, they always end up getting kind of deep and vibey. It's just the way I go. Can't help it.
How would you say your sound has changed or evolved over the period of time that you've been producing?
I think for me, I love listening to some of my old music because it's just kind of, it feels really raw. Like I didn't have the same technical abilities and knowledge that I do now, which is cool. But in a way, it almost works for it in that it is nice and raw. And there's just like it's not overthought out or overproduced in a way too. So I think for me, my music has changed as I've gotten better with my tools. I've gotten different gear over the years. And I think, you know, just looking for new sounds, and sometimes I might get really inspired by hearing a different artist or something like that. And it just goes, oh man, that's such a cool idea. I kind of want to maybe not copy it, but just use some of that same feeling that you get from it. And so, yeah, I think for me personally, it's just definitely something that's just constant. It's like an artist is constantly changing and trying to get better and trying to discover what I like. And sometimes my taste changes a little bit and I sort of get sick of certain things. And, you know, that's just how it goes. So it's always changing all the time.
Is there anything about life and growing up in Calgary that inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
There wasn't any one thing particularly. I just think for me growing up, before I even got into DJing and whatever, always played, like I got into drums and then I got into guitar. I tried playing in some bands and stuff like that. So I've always really been heavily inspired by music and always just love listening to music. Growing up as a kid, I think maybe subconsciously my parents constantly playing, like I had such a cool selection of music growing up, like George Benson to the Beatles to Pink Floyd to Zeppelin to whatever. And it was just always around, it was always playing. And I remember always throwing on records when I was like 4 years old, putting on the headphones. My mom would just literally sit me down. I was like babysitting. I could just sit there and vibe out to music for like an hour. It was awesome, hour or two even. So I think, you know, just growing up with the love for music, it's always been there for me, which is cool.
Yeah.
What was the electronic music scene like in Calgary when you first got into producing and DJing?
When I first started, the scene was quite small. I remember there's one record store downtown called The Attic. That was the main store. That was where all the Calgary jocks would go down to listen to the new vinyl. And I remember being pretty young and heading down there, asking my parents if I could go downtown and check out this record store. And they, of course, said it was cool. And I remember just going in there and being so like nervous and kind of like scared almost to see all these older guys, you know, listen to music and talking about music. And I felt like an outsider. But at the same time, I kind of was like inspired by it as well, because it was so neat to just see, you know, all the music. And then I slowly, these guys were talking about this party or this rave that was going on, and I remember getting just to discover dance music. I went out late and I was like, what is this, man? This pulsing beat is like probably really early techno playing, and dancing my ass off for like 4 or 5 hours and leaving super pumped on dance music after that. That was a life changer for me. So the scene as it's grown though, or as it's changed, I think is it's come a long way. The nice thing is now it's like you could pretty much go out, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Calgary, Sunday even, you're gonna the chances are is a place to go, there's something to do. There's a lot of good people in Calgary pushing the scene forward and helping the city to grow for sure.
When you are performing, what is the live performance setup that you use and why?
When I'm DJing live, pretty standard stuff. I like to use CDJs now. I still love vinyl and I still play vinyl, but you know, 9 times out of 10, if you're at a show or a festival or whatnot, it's usually CDJ 2000s from Pioneer, and a Pioneer DJM 900 Nexus is kind of my go-to. But I do love the Rain rotary mixer as well. I've got one here in the studio and I also like to play on those too. Moving to CDJs was kind of one of those things where the needles don't skip. You don't have to worry about setting up the tone arms. You don't, like, every time you go to play somewhere, there's always these little variables. And so it's just like jump in. I got pretty good at it pretty quick, where I could, you know, start kind of cutting up loops live and just manipulating it. It's a lot faster. I don't incorporate a lot of synths and a lot of drum machines into my DJ sets yet. Something I might want to do a little bit more. I've been experimenting a bit. I'm not quite there. It's not really, I have too much fun DJing, just like playing tracks. So.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your DJing. So now let's go to the production side of things. When you are producing, which DAW do you produce with?
I'm a Cubase guy. I've been using Cubase forever. I love it. I work in a music shop here in Calgary, so I have the pleasure of trying out a bunch of different gear and DAWs. And I got a copy of Ableton Live 9 as like a promotion thing. And I do use it a bit, but for me, Cubase is fantastic. And I love it. It's awesome. Unreal.
Okay, within Cubase, are there any VSTs that you absolutely couldn't live without, and why?
I will give a huge shout out to UA, Universal Audio. Those guys make some of the best sounding compressors, reverbs, limiters, all that kind of stuff. So there's a couple of UA products that I use constantly. I always love it. And it really can do a good job to kind of beef up your tone, add just to make your bass lines and the drums and everything really big and full. UA is probably my favorite. My very favorite virtual synth is a Mini Moog for sure. Okay. That's a go-to for bass lines. Anyone who wants to look up the Arturia Mini Moog stuff, it hammers.
Okay, do you use any outboard gear or just VSTs?
I do use some gear, yeah. I've got my two favorite synths at the moment are the Juno 106 Classic Roland synth and Nord Lead. I love that synth too. It's really cool. It's like a analog, but it's controlled all by electronics, so it's very accurate and sounds killer. And one of the things that I was blessed enough to get when I was like a young man growing up was a Korg stage echo, so it's a tape delay.
Okay.
And absolutely love that thing. Yeah, it just adds that kind of fat dub delay to your songs. And it, you know, you throw a little bit of that on a hit here or two, and it just like takes over. It sounds super organic and warm. I love that piece.
What do you feel more passionate about, performing live or producing music, and why?
Probably more, I love to DJ, but I think for me, passion-wise, it has to be making music. I think it feels a little more rewarding to me at the end of the day. It's a really tough question though too, Mike, because I really do like love the energy exchange when you're playing with the dance floor and things are, you know, you can really feel the energy in the room. Everything's super flowing and, you know, you're vibing off everybody and people are vibing. It's a great party all the way around. I love that. But as far as what I get the most out of would be probably producing. You know, there's something special about just kind of sitting down to work on a song or something and then start with one thing and you end up with something completely different. And at the end of it, you know, it feels like an accomplishment to me. So it feels good getting those tracks done. And just, you know, sometimes it's neat to me to listen back and have a track that you've been working on for a long time, leave it for a day, come back and just soak it up, because it is really rewarding to me to just pick out all the little details and just the whole vibe of it. It's almost like you start with nothing and you end up with something cool. It's like it feels really cool to me. I love it.
Okay, I noticed a poster here a month or two back that you were performing, doing a Nordic Tracks event. How did you first make a connection with Nordic Tracks?
I guess it would have been the late 90s. I knew Tyler Stadius from Vancouver, good friend, DJ T-Bone back in the day. He ended up booking me for, we kind of met and we played some parties in Calgary. I think we just made friends. So I knew Tyler and he had reached out to me that this label he was doing a mix for, Nordic Tracks, is looking for some new music. And he thought that I should send him, because Tyler knew that I was kind of getting into production. I wasn't super well established with it, but I was working on tracks and I'd shown him some stuff. And he's like, you know, send me some music, man. And so back in the day, I literally mailed him a tape. I mailed Tyler a tape of some tracks to demo, and he had one that he really liked, and he showed it to Luke, and Luke got in touch, and that was the very first track that ever came out on Nordic Tracks. But for me, was Necessary Pieces 2 compilation back in the day that Tyler mixed, and that was my very first time meeting Luke, and I really hit it off with Luke. Luke's been a really good friend over the years and a mentor, and he's been really in my corner, pushing me to constantly, you know, come up with new music, and he's really supported me. I did lots of releases with Nordic Tracks. I love that label. It's a back then it was a really kind of cool cutting edge label, and you know, it really became this highly respected deep house niche label from Canada that people from Chicago and Europe and all over the state, like all over, anyone who's into us was like, where is this label from? What's going on with this Nordic Tracks Canada stuff? And it really kind of has been fun working with Luke. So back in the day, it was funny. We'd be mailing tapes, mailing CDs back and forth, you know, back before Dropbox and all the digital share.
Okay. Over your career, have there been any countries or specific clubs that you've absolutely loved to play in, or that you want to play at again in the future?
In our own backyard, one of my favorite festivals is Gabi Shambhala. That's an unbelievable festival to play. It's a pleasure to get back there any chance you can, for sure. I just played a show a couple of weeks ago in Saskatchewan, a festival called Connect. That's a really awesome place to play. And it's sometimes like what makes something awesome is that usually it's the people. It's usually the people that are running it, people that you're hanging out with, you're playing with. You know, that's what usually makes it kind of amazing for me. As far as clubs go, one of the coolest clubs I got to play in, or one of the neatest experiences for me, was actually a tour I did in support of my album that I came out on Nordic Tracks. And I got to play with Luke in Spain. We did a few dates and we had an unbelievable time playing in Madrid, this one club. It was unreal. They had, I remember it was like, they're really pumped up on Canada, and they had like go-go dances with like Canada flags and Canada bikinis, and like it was unreal. That was a really cool experience for me. But you know, I'm really lucky. Any chance I get get to play my own music and be and just DJ, it's always a treat. It's always special, for sure.
Extra place.
So the next question, you don't have to answer it if you don't want. I'm just curious, have you ever had a gig go terribly wrong?
Terribly wrong? Well, you know, when you've been playing as long as me, you can almost guarantee that there's going to be some crappy gigs along the way. So, you know, without dropping names or pinpointing one specific thing, I think one of the tough things for me is when you're trying to become like established or create a name for yourself, and it's hard when you're first getting going, and you end up playing lots and lots of you play just to play. You don't really think too much about, you know, what's the vibe going to be like? What's this like? You just like, you got a chance to jump up. So there's a lot of gigs younger, or when I was younger in my career, that definitely sucked. But I've been pretty blessed over the years to play, you know, a lot of really incredible shows and be really, you know, really taken care of, which feels good to look back. It's only a few stinkers along the way, so I'm all right with that.
Okay, can you name one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
I don't really fan out super hard on a lot of DJs. It's sort of weird. I mean, I love tons of guys, but if I had to name a few, I mean, one of my favorite DJs, just from a technical point of view, is probably Farina. Mark Farina's awesome. I love Mark. He's super tight. Derek Carter, another really fantastic DJ. What I like about those two dudes in particular is their mixing is awesome. Like, their technical skills are obviously unreal, but what I do like is just, you know, they'll be able to take you on a really cool 3-hour journey or longer and just really keep you going the whole time. That's what I find is, you know, some of the traits of some of my favorite DJs are guys that can like sort of paint a picture, tell a story, but you don't get bored. You're not like, they're taking you down low, they're bringing you back up, and it's just a constant fun time. It's always, that's what I really dig about those guys. Awesome. Come on.
what is your vision for the future of yourself production-wise and also in DJing?
Right now, I just love music and I'm happy to still be lucky enough to say that I'm still DJing and producing, you know, after all these years. So for me, I'm just obviously going to keep going, just keep putting out music and do it for the love. I'm all about quality, not quantity at this point. So for me, you know, if it takes me 2-3 weeks to even finish one track, I'm not worrying about it. I'd rather it be something that when it's out, I'm not going to look back on it in a year or a couple of years and just be like, ooh, man, I really should have put that out. I should have took more time on that. So for me, just constantly developing as an artist, keep working on my music and doing it for the love and for the right reasons and just being thankful every day that I get to do it. So
is there anything that you want to promote right now?
Well, I've got a couple new things coming up in the fall, which is kind of cool. I just signed an EP for Large Records, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Kind of a bucket list label for me to work with that I've been a fan of since the 90s, so I'm very pleased that we got something signed up, which is going to come out. It's going to come out in October coming up, so keep your ears open for that. There's that. We've got the Nordic Tracks 20-year anniversary compilation coming out here this fall as well. I've got a track on it. It's like a full compilation, and then I've got an EP with the label as well. So basically, those are the three major things coming up in the fall window, and who knows? We'll see. There's always music working on, and there's some collaborations I've been working on with guys that aren't finished yet. We're just waiting to finish some stuff up, but you know, excited to be back at it. I find it for the summer, it's all about, for me, I've got kids, it's all about spending time outside, chilling with the family, doing a lot of fun things, you know, and then fall comes around and it's back to work, baby. So we'll see what comes up in the next future here.
Okay, this has been John Delirious. A selection of John Delirious tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download. A full list of John Delirious web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Thanks a lot for doing this, and good luck in the future.
Today, live recordings of big bands are rare, making this release so much more special. Introducing Live at the Ironwood, a unique album that captures the infectious energy of the primetime big band's live performances in contemporary and classic big band tradition. All Canadian compositions, never before recorded arrangements tracked over 3 days in November of 2016, the latest album from Canada's longest standing big band, primetime big band, Live at the Ironwood, on sale October 6th.
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Who's it, huh?
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human, your weekly guide to all that is new, weird and wonderful in the world of electronic music. So please join me, Gareth Moses, for electronic music old and new, inane comments and the occasional sacrifice. More Than Human on CITR.
All right, we are done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much, John Delirious, for the mix for our last show and the interview for this show over the course of the last two episodes. Both were really, really good. If you like what you heard, check him out at the usual outlets. I put a list of John Delirious web links on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page, so go there and check those out. If you enjoyed the show, check it out again in podcast form, either on iTunes or at citr.ca. Up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike. Check that out if you want to go on a 2-hour trance journey. And we are time to wrap up here. But before we do, let's set the controls for the time machine for this week's track from the past. So here we're going to hop back 17 years to the year 2000 for a track from one of my all-time favorite electronic groups. It's none other than Underworld with one of their 12-minute epics. This the amazing thing about Underworld for me is that they can make a song like this just build and build and build for the full length. Nothing seems out of place. Everything just goes off right at the end. This track is a perfect example of that. It's Bedrock's remix of Cowgirl. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.